This episode of Risen Motherhood is funded by our generous donors. If you like this podcast, please consider joining them at risenmotherhood.com/give.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily here with Laura.
Hey, guys.
And before we jump into today's show, we just want to encourage you to take a few minutes to leave us an iTunes review. If you're willing, it would be such a huge blessing to us. Laura and I actually read all of those, and it's just really encouraging to see the work that God is doing, and it helps other people find our show. So again, it just takes a couple minutes, and if you need a tutorial, you can click onto our show notes, and we'll make sure that it's super easy for you to figure out how to do.
So today's show, we're talking about a real interesting topic, I think one that's not discussed a ton. And every week, this show kind of stemmed from every week we get these emails in our inbox or messages on Instagram or Facebook where women are really processing career opportunities in motherhood. And they're asking, how do I know what decision to make? You know, what do I weigh? How can I practically evaluate, like, how costly this will be for my family, for myself, for my children? There's just a lot of things to weigh in as we say, hey, here's some career or work dreams that I have. But the reality is I'm a mom with dependents upon me, and God has called me there. So how do these things mesh?
Right. And we certainly, you know, can't answer all of that in a show, but one of our heartbeats at Risen Motherhood is to meet moms right where they're at with the good news of Jesus Christ, because we do think that it applies to all of these different things that we're facing. And so none of us have to have arrived yet in order to receive the good news and start to trust God in faith right where we're at. So that is one of our hopes for this show, so that we can kind of get started. And before we go there, let's just stop and remember that it is amazing, or if you even have a choice, it's
yes,
a great thing, and it's not something that's a given for every mom.
Yeah, it's a huge privilege to even have a chance to think about things like this and to say, yes, no, maybe so. There are real hindrances to women being able to pursue their preferred career choice or maybe a secret dream that they've had or a small business that they've wanted. Things like single motherhood, chronic health issues, care for a family member, maybe somebody who's aging or someone with special needs, and even just things like economic downturns. You know, it's a real thing where people lose their jobs or there just isn't a lot of job opportunity in some communities and cultures where people live. So there are a lot of things outside of someone's control that doesn't allow them to even entertain the question that we're going to try to address today.
Right. So today, when we're just talking about evaluating career decisions, it's like, hey, should I take on some more hours? Should I take on this special project? That's something that a lot of us have faced, where I know for Laura and I, sometimes it's, should I take on this extra writing opportunity, write this extra article? Should we increase our hours? Should we take a speaking gig? Should we add that extra arm to the Risen Motherhood ministry that we've been wanting to do? There are things that take real hours that absolutely come into our email inbox that we have to struggle with week in and week out, is what do we say to this stuff? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that it applies probably to many of you, whether or not you're in kind of a creative field like this. I know I've got family members and friends who face things like, hey, do I pick up some extra shifts, you know, and as a nurse, or do I take that other job opportunity that's going to require a lot more travel? I know even my husband faced stuff like that, especially when we were looking for new jobs and positions. And there's also things like, hey, should I work on this special project? And I might win a really great award if I put in the extra hours to do that. So there are just a lot of different things I think that we face, whether you're, you know, full-time working, you're part-time working, maybe it's even something like, do I start a business for the first time? MLMs and just Etsy and Amazon and lots of opportunity to start your own business. It's like a couple clicks of the button and you can be up and running. And so we're all facing those things all the time of like, should I be pursuing that or do I not? Yeah. You know?
And that essential question is like, okay, like what might be good for my career is possibly detrimental to the family or to the church or to the kingdom mission or the community, or it might not be. And there's ways to evaluate that. So that's where we're really stuck. And Laura went through some great examples of things that we face. And I think there's a lot of online influencers mm-hmm. and entrepreneurs, and even you can listen to podcasts about philosophies around this. And a lot of times they're saying things like, yeah, like make the most of every opportunity you can and do whatever it takes to like say yes and make this happen, because nothing is really off limits for you if you can just structure everything correctly.
Yeah, I heard this radio ad just the other day and I thought, oh, this ties into the show we're about to record, because they literally said something like, now you don't have to make the choice between your professional life and your personal life. Oh. And I just thought, really? There is no way.
Somebody's figured it out.
Every time you say yes to a professional opportunity, you are saying no to something in your personal life. That has to happen. And it doesn't mean that it's a bad thing, but everything is a choice. And so I just thought when I heard that ad, I was like, false, false, mm-hmm. false. All my radars were going off, because these are really real issues. Like every yes is a no.
Yeah. And I think other possible or popular messages we hear is like, you are in control of your life. I mean, that's something you're in control. Just figure it out. Just pull the right strings and you can arrange things rightly. Or another one is like, we have a right to our happiness and no one should stop us from being happy. Mm. We could do a whole show on that one.
Yes.
Another one I remember hearing about as I was growing up, even from my dad who worked in corporate America, is this thought that like at the end of every career opportunity, eventually there's a magical life with the freedom and the balance I've always
magical
wanted.
Magical life.
Yes. So you just think like, I'm going to keep taking these opportunities because this is what I'm paying in so that later I don't have to have all the stress. And then he would talk about people who had done that for decades and actually their life was like so much worse off than when they started. And you just don't realize that it can be a trap if you're not being strategic and thinking through those things. There's lots of hard messages out there.
Yeah. So today we just want to say, like, how do we process these decisions? You know, how do we know what to say yes or no to? And how does motherhood play into that? So of course, we can start with the gospel and looking there to see what God's word have to say. And we know from the creation account that men and women were created to have purposeful work, to be fruitful, to multiply, and to be stewards and caretakers of God's creation. That's just in Genesis 1:28. But we want to look a little bit closer at the Proverbs 31 woman, because she seems to be, everyone likes to tee her up and
superwoman.
So we want to debunk that or like talk through that a little bit, but also see what principles we might learn from her.
Right. And so she's in scripture, this archetype, and she's in wisdom literature. So if you're not super familiar with Bible literacy, wisdom literature is a genre. So it's not something that's supposed to be like formulaic or prescriptive, but it just paints pictures for us of principles about how we should live in light of God and his commands. And so in this passage, King Lemuel's mom is giving this like nice picture of what an excellent wife might look like. And in that, I think we get a snapshot of God's design, kind of pre-fall a little bit, like not, you know, if everything was ideal,
right,
here's kind of a general sense of what she would be like.
Right. So we see things like, hey, she's trustworthy. She does her husband and her family good. She's hardworking, sacrificial. She does all types of work with excellence. You know, she's like a real estate mogul, a seamstress. You know, she's doing all sorts of really cool things. She's working in and outside the home. She is generous, a good steward. She's other-centered. She's wise and kind. We could go on and on. Go and read Proverbs 31, if you're not familiar, and see how this woman, some of these character traits, I suppose, that that this queen is encouraging her son to look for in a wife.
Yeah. So ultimately, you know, we find the fulfillment of all of God's design in Christ. And he is the one who has to come redeem creation, because there is no way that any of us are going to model this or like be able to replicate it. We'll talk a little bit more about what the fall does. But basically, I think between what we see kind of in Genesis and the creation account, a lot of things in the Old Testament, and this Proverbs 31 woman, we see, look, God created us to worship him and care about the spread of Eden or kind of the advance of the kingdom. which means we're going to steward our gifts and our skills and our resources, and we're going to pass along the legacy of faith and love others in every role and responsibility we have. That means motherhood. That means any career we have, any ministry we have in our communities. It's kind of this holistic view of serving God with all that he's given us.
But unfortunately, because of the fall, we tend to get a very narrow viewpoint instead of the holistic one. So we tend to look for our purpose and identity in things that are outside of God. So we might look for that in motherhood itself, for our husbands, or a job opportunity, or maybe some kind of resume builder or achievement through that. And you know, we do this by looking, okay, well, what are other people around me doing? And how can I make sure that they think I look really cool? How can I look really cool to them? How can I, you know, mold my life to the world? And then we also tend to say, okay, I want to be like her. She has it all, or it seems like she has it all. So what are those stepping stones I need to do to get there? So that's one of the areas that the fall has kind of impacted our decision-making, especially when it comes to achievements and dreams and work and things like that.
Another thing we struggle with our sinful hearts is that instead of looking at God and saying, okay, how am I serving him? We're often looking at ourselves and thinking about our own agenda and our own kingdom and how we can build that up. So we don't really want to be inconvenienced by, oh, I have to consider others. I have to think about my husband or my children. And not just that, but like what my church might need, what my community might need, what our local school might need. We just kind of would think about number one. I mean, that's all of us. I'm not trying to pick on any one type of mom or woman.
Right.
I think we all don't want to have to submit our ideas to God as fallen sinners.
Yeah. And I think another way we make decisions out of sin is that we are just making them out of discontent. You know, we feel like we feel this ache in our souls and we believe that it's this sign we need to do something big or different, when really it's just an ache to find contentment in Christ. And so sometimes we're making these decisions because we've got fear and we've got worry and we're having anxiety. And then when we make them and we do them, we're like, that dream didn't feel so good. And we thought that it would make us feel better, but now we just feel sad and sorry for ourselves. And so this discontent, it's never going to fulfill us. The only thing that will fulfill us is Christ, which we'll talk about in redemption. But I think that we can tend to blame shift in all of this, just like Adam and Eve did. We're pointing fingers and saying, hey, this is someone else's fault. I can't do this right now because I'm a mom, so I'm not allowed to pursue that. Or, you know, I can't be a good mom because I've got this great career and I've got to keep pursuing that and doing really well. And you know, we're just not making decisions out of a place that is positioned on Christ and his work. Instead, we're kind of pointing the blame in other places, and we're not taking the responsibility for our own decisions and trusting God with them.
So luckily, although this point always leaves us feeling a little bit like downers, reality is this is why God sent his son Jesus, because we are so messed up in the way that we approach everything. So building off of that discontentment, I think in redemption, we see like, you know what? God is in control and we are able to honor and follow him through Christ in whatever circumstances he has given us. So it's not a matter of if this was just different, then I would be different. Even when we feel like we have very few choices and opportunities, God can still lead us and shape us into Christ-likeness. And again, to push back to the beginning of the show, let's remember that most people in the Bible and even many people throughout the whole world today are in situations where they don't have choices. And maybe they're forced into slavery, overtaken by armies, living in poverty, all kinds of things we see in scripture. This wasn't just like, oh, you just need to create the life you want. No, they literally couldn't. And God made a way for them to hope and have faith in him, even when their circumstances were definitely less than ideal.
Yeah, and because Christ laid down his life for us, we can lay down ours. And that means maybe we are sacrificing some of our dreams or career opportunities, ability to climb the ladder, to have our name published where we want it published, whatever it is. You know, it's going to look different for every person. And honestly, that's going to be between you and the Lord. We're all personally held accountable for those decisions that we're making. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, like, we are able to figure out a lot of those decisions in faith. And it kind of goes back to our personal conscience show that we did a couple weeks ago that, you know, a lot of these things, like as long as we are growing in holiness and that we are living out the Great Commission, we're loving our neighbor, we're serving the kingdom at home and in the community and church, all of those things, like there is freedom to make different decisions, but we have to kind of keep in perspective, hey, am I looking holistically at this picture or am I really zeroing in on like my own selfish desires?
Mm-hmm, definitely. So we wanted to spend some time on this show really getting into some practical ideas because Laura and I, again, as we said, face these decisions too. We know that you guys are facing them. So literally, what do we do whenever we get an opportunity yep. comes available and we're like, I'm not sure if I should take this or not?
Yeah. So the first thing to do is pray. Did you know we were going to say that? You can never do this for too often or for too long. So please, please, please pray.
We gotta say it.
It ain't a good show if you don't say it. The second one, consider your heart motives. So this is a really, really good question and something that we always want to encourage you to do no matter what decision you're making in life. The question to ask yourself is, hey, why do I really want to take this opportunity? Maybe it's a promotion, a new job, a seasonal job. Maybe it's some kind of special project or assignment at work. So you're asking yourself, are there any sin issues hidden beneath?
Yes. And there will be, always.
Spoiler alert.
Surprise. But I think it's still that opportunity to recalibrate and maybe yeah. you still make the same decision, but you're able to do it submitting those and repenting of those before God and asking Him to help you. Or maybe you see, I know for Laura and I, sometimes we worry like, oh, the reason I want to take this is because I'm afraid that if I don't, this is never going to come around again. Yep, and so we just have to do it. And it's like, okay, pause. We're not trusting God here.
Yep.
Okay, let's take a deep breath. And now we can evaluate it with a clearer focus. Another thing we want to consider is just that we want to tune our heart to the word and not to the world. And so instruments have standard tuning requirements so that they can play beautiful music. And it's very important that they are tuned against that thing, because if not, they're just playing ugly, crazy, out of tune music. And I think a lot of us are taking in the things that we hear influencer, like we're saying at the beginning, you hear the ad, you read what the influencer is saying, you're listening to all these podcasts, and you don't realize that that's what you're tuned into. Mm-hmm. And so when you go to make a decision, those are the messages that we're making decisions based off, versus saying, whoa, 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 let me recalibrate, let me tune my heart towards the word of God. And as we do that more and more, it's going to influence how we make decisions.
Yeah. And with that, you got to be counting the cost. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is where we said before, every yes means a no. And as Emily said, if your heart is tuned in with the word of God, sometimes it feels very costly, those yeses and those noes. And lately I've been working really hard at timestamping. This is like uber practical for you guys, but just really considering, okay, if I say yes to a writing opportunity, that's, 4 hours that mm-hmm. I am not going to have with my children, or 4 hours that I don't have to volunteer in school or at church. And so really evaluating, like putting some numbers down as you're mm-hmm. considering an opportunity and saying, so this is what I have to give up if I'm going to say yes. And it can feel kind of like a bummer either way sometimes, but that's where almost you are able to think more clearly, I think, when you understand the consequences.
Right. And then another one, certainly, if you are married, talk with your husband. Try to understand his true feelings. And if you guys are on different pages, pray that God would bring you together in unity and maybe change one of your hearts. And I think this is one of those things where being proactive is so helpful, of getting together and saying, what is our vision? How are our careers, or how are our service life or our ministry life? How are all of these things fitting together so we can love God and serve Him as a family? Is really important to have those conversations.
Seek counsel from older, wiser women. So we say this one often as well, but
it's so good.
It's so good.
True.
Yeah. Can you find a woman who's worked in that type of position before and has been a mom? Can you find someone who had a similar career path, maybe even a step ahead of you? This doesn't always mean, hey, we got to find the grandmother, but maybe it's a woman who is very recently transitioned out of this. And so ask them what they did. What did they wish they did differently? And if they know you well, like, hey, how would you advise me in making this decision?
Oh, Laura and I have been helped so many times.
So much. We would be nowhere without them.
Yes, who've been willing, even in the things that we're looking at doing, to say, here's what you have to be careful of, and here's what I wish I would have done differently. It just can be so helpful. Another thing to keep in mind is just remember that, what do they call it? The rule of grief.
Yes, I'm terrible at this. The rule of grief.
Yep. Basically, the rule of grief is like, if you're going through something really hard,
this could be like a move. Yes. You just had a baby. You just experienced a major surgery, a family illness. So a big event in your life.
Right. It may not be the best time to make really big decisions about things that are going to impact you for a long time. Because, hey, let's be real. There's hormones involved. A lot of times we're tired. Sometimes we're feeling just kind of the itch and the pain of being in a season that we're not really happy with. And so, okay, who's had a baby and cut like 6 inches off their hair? Anybody?
I have not done that.
Oh yeah, like I think twice. And every time I have a baby, I have to be like, don't do it.
She needs some change.
And I'm like, don't let me go cut my hair off. And so it's just a joke, but it's a great example of like, there is something in us that kind of wants to
craves
go,
change.
Yeah, wants to go do something different. And so we just have to be aware of that tendency and be cautious as we're making decisions.
And with that caution, start small. I mean, especially again, we're talking about women who have the luxury of making these decisions. That probably means you don't have to go full bore. So Emily and I, when we're making decisions, we're taking it one by one. We're not saying, you know, hey, we're going to, you know, do this gigantic thing. We're kind of, especially in the season of life where we are and where we've come to with our husbands, is that we want to kind of start small and build and trust that process that, hey, there's going to be an exit strategy as well on some of these things. And so it's kind of important to blend those two things if you're able to and if the opportunity allows it.
Yes. I love what you said about exit strategy because while, we don't want to say that to our potential employer.
so what's my exit strategy?
It's good behind the scenes. To talk with your husband or whoever's giving you counsel to say, hey, what am I going to do in 6 months or in a year if this is so crazy and it's having a really negative impact on all the things that we really care about and value? What are we going to do then? Mm-hmm. It's good to have those check-in points to know that I'm not trapped in this forever.
Yes. And with that, remember your capacity and remember that, you know, support systems, they matter and everyone has a different one. So just be realistic, you know, with what you're able to do. I'm terrible at this. I'm preaching to myself here, but remember that just because someone else is doing something doesn't mean that you even could if you wanted to.
Amen. I feel like we all need to pause and think about that point. Just because she can't doesn't mean I can or I should. Just keep reevaluating and be open to change as God leads. And if, again, you look at this down the road and you feel like, actually, I need to do something different, be willing to have open hands. So we are all evaluating different decisions in life, but no matter where you're at or how your days are made up, whatever you're doing right now, you are planting seeds for other seasons. So for those of you who feel like, hey, my career goals aren't being realized right now, God can continue to grow and cultivate you into the most important thing, which is Christ-likeness.
Mm-hmm.
And then no matter your career goals, just remember, have you counted the cost? And just consider the little people in your home, considered not just them, but the church and the community and the neighbors and the city that you live in. There are so many things and ways we can serve God and his kingdom.
Yeah. So we would just encourage you guys to consider these things really deeply and to take every decision very, very seriously and just put it against the word of God as you evaluate what you should be doing next. These are big choices and big decisions. So we just pray that God will continue to give you the wisdom in navigating each one. So if you'd like to check out our show notes, head over to risenmotherhood.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media at Risen Motherhood, at Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And of course, like we said at the beginning of the show, we'd love it if you headed over to iTunes and gave us a review. It maybe takes 5 minutes out of your day. So thanks again, guys, and have a great day.